This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. The following was said on our program last week.
I do not think that we will see efforts to ban fracking that will have meaningful support or momentum behind them. I do think that that is a concept that has passed.
Those words from the outgoing head of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. Tisha Schuler is leaving the industry's trade group at the end of the month. Today, we're talking with Karen Dyke, who is trying to prove Schuler wrong. Dyke is a spokeswoman for Coloradans Against Fracking, which launched in February. And a welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ryan. It's good to be here.
And we'll start with your reaction to Schuler's prediction that your movement has no meaningful support.
I'm a retired registered nurse, and I spent my career trying to help people be healthy, and I fought frequently for patients, and I think we need to do the same thing when we're fighting for the citizens of Colorado. So the movement is far from gone. We have a large active movement with businessmen, farmers, environmentalists, grassroots organizations.
And how does that translate to support, for instance, that would get something on a ballot or, you know, result in meaningful change in your mind?
I think that as we build our coalition further across the state, that we have a lot of active volunteers on the ground and people who will help us with whatever actions we decide to take.
Which are?
Well, you know, we have all options on the table, looking at what can we do to remove fracking from Colorado.
So is your ultimate goal, would you say, a statewide ban on fracking?
Our goal is to do whatever it takes for us to remove fracking from Colorado.
All right. Let's go through what the options on the table are.
You know, we have a number of things that we can look at, and that's, do we work city to city, community to community? Do we just work on the election cycle? How can we elect people who are politically against fracking? So there's a number of things that we can and will work on.
At this point, because it's been the highest profile, mm-hmm. is a fracking ban, a statewide fracking ban, near the top of the list, mm-hmm. near the bottom of the list?
I can't tell you where it would be on any list because we're looking at all options right now.
Momentum for a movement often these days means money for a movement. Mm-hmm. It appears that Congressman Jared Polis, who had originally backed some anti-fracking ballot measures, is now preferring a legislative route and not a ballot route. So there is a potential source of deep pockets. I don't believe that you have, as members of your coalition, some of the larger environmental groups, for instance. Where does money come from?
Well, and right now we're not sure if we're going to a ballot, but we're working. I think we have over 40 organizations across the state that have signed on to help support us, and we are growing. As we look at that, we want to make sure that we continue to be, that our organization needs to stay very grassroots. And there's a lot of power in talking to your neighbors, in local meetings, to explain what's going on, and in just in talking to people, person to person, neighbor to neighbor. That helps us a lot with less need for money. So we're just right now in formulating what we're going to do, and then we'll look further at what we need.
When this group launched, you called on Governor Hickenlooper to, well, I mean, in a way, espouse your view of fracking, and you wanted him to act. The governor has been adamant that he doesn't support an outright fracking ban. Do you expect him to change his mind?
You know, we try never to give up hope for anybody, but what we know is that over the past few years, he sued the citizens of Colorado who have voted legally that they want a ban in their community. He continues to foster different types of legislation that are against the citizens of this state. And so we will continue to put whatever pressure we can on him. But we also know that there's other avenues we'll need to take as well.
What's an example of something you think that he's passed that's against the citizens of this state?
I think the big one is a ballot initiative measure. which essentially changes how we can do ballot initiatives in this state.
This is the idea of having the impact statement, the potential cost of something, early on. Mm-hmm. When voters are signing those first petitions. You see that as an assault on your movement.
Well, there's that part, which is a big part, and I think, yes, it is an assault on our movement. There is that part where the state will say, here's how much this ballot initiative would cost. And I think mostly that can be overcome as we talk about it. But there's other pieces in that piece of legislation that is meant to sort of gum up the works. So how many hearings there are, having the same two people at every one of those hearings.
So let's go back to this notion of fracking bans, be they statewide or local. Mm-hmm. Local campaigns to put a ban or a moratorium on fracking have been successful in Longmont, where you live, mm-hmm. as well as Broomfield, Lafayette, Boulder, and Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. But Tisha Shuler's group, COGA, and the state, as you mentioned, have sued to overturn the bans. And so far, judges have ruled in their favor. So why is a statewide or a series of more local fracking bans on the table, as you've mm-hmm. said?
Well, there's several of these that are still in the court. There was a case 20-some years ago before fracking changed to be the heavy industrialized process that it is now, that ruled against bans. Other than that...
You think, though, that things have moved so far beyond that point. You think that that's irrelevant or old case law, or you're hoping for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're hoping that as we move forward that the citizens' voices will be heard. Right now, our governor's suing the citizens across the state, saying that we can't have a voice in the government.
Well, isn't he actually, in suing, saying you're taking away a property right, that if you ban fracking, which, as you've acknowledged, is the way most oil and gas now is gotten at, right, mm-hmm. That you are taking away someone's property, that mineral right?
What we know is that there are so many toxins from fracking that are in our air that you have to look at not just somebody's dollar amount, but also what is the health consequences of that.
Okay, let's break that apart.
Okay.
So first, to the taking. Even if fracking, in your mind, is dangerous, if you stop it, do you owe the person with the mineral rights something?
No. If they can at some point make fracking safe, they still have those mineral rights. So we aren't taking them away. We're saying fracking in its current form is not safe. And so their right to their money shouldn't supersede the life of children.
So it sounded earlier like you wanted fracking stopped at all costs. But it does sound like there's a scenario in which fracking would be okay if you found it to be safe.
You know,
what is that? What is that level, or what is that marker?
For me, what it is when the fossil fuel industry gained exemptions from several national guidelines. So they don't have to follow the Clean Air and Water Act. They don't have to follow the RCRA Act, which is about toxics. When they can fulfill those regulations, then, you know, it will be safer for us.
And so a fracking ban to you would look like what? I mean, it would say banned until and unless?
Banned until and unless they can prove that fracking is safe and that it's not causing harm.
So we got into that part of the discussion because you mentioned air quality and mm-hmm. your concerns around it. What are your other major health concerns?
There was a huge study that was done when the state of New York determined that fracking was unsafe for the citizens of New York. There is a current ban, and that was primarily based on health studies that were done in Colorado and Pennsylvania and Texas and those states of us that are really in the bullseye for fracking. Particularly, some studies in Colorado showed that there are an increase in birth defects in babies, particularly cardiac and spinal cord defects.
This state's top health official has called that into question, that there are many other factors that could be at play. Mm-hmm. And I think the researcher herself has said there's many more questions to answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you read health studies, and I have my master's in nursing and had to do a research project, right? So when you read and you do research in health, one of the things you say is, what are the other questions? And so when people read a health study that says the next study should include these questions, it simply means that there is an opportunity for more research. It does not say that the research that was done was invalid.
Let's go back to this question of momentum. Mm-hmm. Would you say that since the task force met, out of which some more proposals have come, and also have, you know, increased monitoring, would you say that your movement has less steam than it did?
No, I would say it increased it, because what we realized with the task force, and many of us were active in sending emails and testifying at numerous times the task force met, is that the task force didn't do anything of substance.
This was a task force the governor put together, let me say.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it was heavily stacked with industry. And then what came out of that was they are going to hire a couple more people in COGCC to
the Conservation Commission
to look at monitoring and to maybe do a health study. But what I keep coming back to, Ryan, is that we are foisting a lot of toxins on our communities and saying, well, we're going to do a health study to look at what's happening. We don't want to be the subjects of another healthcare study.
You feel that you're a guinea pig.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about another comment that Tisha Shuler, again, the outgoing head of the Oil and Gas Industry Trade Group, made to us last week. She said people who pursue bans on fracking while also consuming fossil fuels are hypocritical.
I think we need to take that question and kind of turn it on its head. The real question should be, why in the 21st century are we reliant on 18th century technology? And the reason is that we have so many people fighting against looking at renewables that it's difficult to exist in this country without being reliant on fossil fuels. I drive a Prius. I get lots of miles per gallon. I take the bus when I can to go to downtown Denver. I have an all-electric home, and I'm putting solar on my roof. But what we need to do is to turn our thinking around and move towards renewables.
Shuler also talked about a world in need of more and more energy. You've got major populations around the world that are coming into states of increased wealth and consumption. And so she sees the abundance of cleaner fossil fuels as really an economic justice issue.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that what we see is countries like India and China are moving more rapidly towards renewables than the United States is. We have everything we need to be fossil free. All we need is the political will to do that. There's a scientist at Stanford University. His name is Mark Jacobson, and he has done the Solutions Project. And what he has done is he has looked at every state across the United States and developed a plan for what it would look like for that state to be fossil fuel free.
He says in Colorado, there would be 55% energy from wind, 33% from a combination of solar and concentrated solar power, the biggest proportions there. And there's a link to Jacobson's analysis at cprnews.org. There are some questions about whether it's realistic. For example, how do you store enough energy for times when the sun isn't shining and wind isn't blowing? But, you know, let's say the world can be powered without fossil fuels. Undoubtedly, that would cost, a chunk of change to build the infrastructure to generate that and distribute it. How do you envision the transition to renewables happening?
If we stop subsidizing the oil and gas industry, and if we stop doing the aftermath of cleanup of the environmental damage that they cause, say the oil spills and such, there is more than enough money to move that to renewables and to start to build a new grid.
Karen, thank you for being with us.
Sure, thank you.